Tom. I'm Joe by Roosevelt Avenue. This is Tevealpod.com coming to you from our studios, perched high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 8th of March, 2012. Shahnameh by Ferdowsi, the national epic of Iran, was finished on this date 1,012 years ago. Much influenced Night in the Tiger Skin, by the way. 1655, John Kasser became the first legally recognized slave in England's North American colonies. In 1775, an anonymous writer, probably Tom Paine, published African Slavery in America, the first article in the American colonies calling for the emancipation of slaves and the abolition of the institution of slavery. In 1817, the New York Stock Exchange is founded. In 1819, the first Georgian language newspaper is founded, Sakartvelos Gazeti. In 1911, International Women's Day is launched, of course, in Copenhagen. In 1920, the Arab Kingdom of Syria is established, the first modern Arab state to come into existence. In 1963, the Ba'ath Party comes to power in Syria in a coup d'etat of quasi-leftist Syrian army officers calling themselves the National Council of the Revolutionary Command. In 1966, a bomb planted by the IRA destroys Nelson's Pillar in Dublin. In 1979, Philips demonstrates the compact disc publicly for the first time. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan calls the Soviet Union an evil empire. In 2005, Aslan Maskhadov is killed. Birthdays. 1892, Mississippi John Hurt, the American blues singer, who we heard a couple of weeks ago. 1931, John McPhee, the totally excellent American writer. Read his books if you haven't. And in 1950, the very first VW bus begins production. Today, we are only Will Dunbar and me, Mark Mullen. Cameron is off being academic. Today is International Women's Day. Misha congratulated women on his Facebook page, saying that all 365 days should be Women's Day. He added a number of different little hearts in a line to his post.
Wow. Also, the public registry announced that today more women were born than men in Georgia.
Really?
Yes, isn't that sweet?
How could they have announced that?
I don't know. It was on Interpress News, which is, you know, ever reliable, gospel truth.
Interesting. All right, yeah. So, 8 days after Soso Kemeridze died from falling from a staircase in a Khashoggi police station, the Interior Ministry announced that it was firing the local police chief for failure to secure safety norms within the building. And from now on, video surveillance cameras will be installed in the police stations to ensure citizens' safety, said the Minister of Interior Affairs, Vano Medavashvili, after announcing that they're doing an investigation and can't really say very much until then, except that it was most probably an accident when he fell down the stairs.
Right. I mean, you know, I suppose it's good that they've got rid of the police chief, the local police chief, at least like the one header's role. But, I mean, you know, for anyone that's ever sort of heard about police brutality, he fell down the stairs is sort of the most lame excuse that you've ever heard. He walked into a door, Your Honor. It's just, pretty pathetic. So who knows? I don't want to second guess the investigation, but at the very least, they fired this guy. So that's something to be relatively happy about, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know about relatively happy about. I mean, the guy was killed and it took him a long time. I mean, you know, he was beaten to death. It was supposedly some, you know, there's no political issue to it. It was some, you know, burglary investigation or whatever else. But, I mean, the dangerous thing about it is, you know, sad that somebody was, you know, most likely, I don't want to prejudice the investigation or anything, but beaten to death by the police. But the way in which they dealt with it was just really appalling.
Well, no, my point is that, you know, yes, okay, but at least they fired this guy. I mean, that kind of
fired that guy.
The least they could do. But I mean, and come on, you know,
after 8 days after protests in Khashoggi, I mean, if it was all over, everybody talking about it, you know, I mean, it was clearly if that's what pressure leads to, is that guy getting fired? You know,
isn't this the first guy getting fired? I mean, normally they just suck up all the criticism and not do anything at all. I mean, okay, it's small potatoes, but at least it's some potatoes.
The sad thing is the way in which they have dealt with it has indicated that they feel that it is more important to speak to the police than it is to speak to the public. you know, the public, everybody really knows what, or believes they know what happened here. And the fact that they're so strident in saying that, you know, no, he fell down the staircase, and therefore safety norms, I mean, means that, you know, they really, I mean, there's a very serious line between in-group and out-group here. I mean,
but when have they taken the blame for anything? I mean, you know, they only, when there's clear video footage which shows people's faces, like when the policeman hit the woman in the face in January last year at the veterans protest, or when Interpress News filmed two drunk policemen forcing guys into the police car and then beating them up, only then do people get fired, when you can actually sort of identify faces on video footage. Other than that, they never take the blame. I mean, this, they just, you know, they just pretend it doesn't happen.
Well, as the Palestinians would say, I reject that. Now, on to the media angle. Maestro had a show with Nana Kakabadze, you know, yesterday's human rights person, and Misha Tavkhalidze, you know, today's anti-European, you know, annoyance, yelling at each other about the thing. And it was really, it was among the worst television. It was an illustration of as bad as television can be.
What was said?
Well, nothing. I mean, because neither of them know anything at all. I mean, you know, what's known about this is, you know, what we just said, which is not much. And then the rest of it is just opinion. And these are two people who
opinionated
blowhards who know nothing, you know, just screaming at each other.
So what was Misha Tagbilidze's, I mean, who is, by the way, for the listeners that don't know, a notorious libertarian fundamentalist, did he have something libertarian to say?
No, he didn't have anything.
Did he name-check Hayek?
No, of course not. We're in an election year. He's trying to, you know, get his way on the list. And so it was just kind of like, oh, come on. You know, I mean, there were no points made of any value whatsoever. On the other hand, Dato Paichadze's show that had Shoto Tiashvili, the spokesman for the Interior Ministry. I mean, it was calm, considered.
This is Jordan Public Broadcaster, right? This is First Channel.
Exactly.
Right?
First Channel. Paichadze really gave, you know, really penetrating questions. And Tiashvili really didn't have a heck of a lot to say other than, well, we had no motive. You know, which is not very satisfactory, but it was, you know, of anything that was said, and I mean, and Paichadze went through, you know, step by step, like what we know and whatever else. It was quite good. A fantastic blog post just out, burning the wires from, hardest working NGO in Tbilisi. This is, Transparency International Georgia, about the TV coverage. And I will read it verbatim. When the national TV outlets Imedit Rustaviori and the Georgian Public Broadcasters Channel 1 reported about the tragic death of 46-year-old Soso Kimeridze in a police station in the village of Khashuri, one fact was striking. Not only were the images used to cover the case largely identical, but the wording used by news anchors to report the case was almost word for word the same. The coordinated news coverage is a strong indication of coordinated news coverage of the country's major national TV channels on politically sensitive issues. As this popular video on YouTube documents, the narrative national TV provided by the tragic death did not fairly cover the fact that the opposition politicians raised questions about the case, alleging that Kimeridze's death might have been the result of police abuse. And I recommend everybody to check out that YouTube. If you search for Kimeridze on YouTube, you'll find it. Imedi Rustaviori and Georgian Public Broadcaster covered the case with the following identical wording. Ivanishvili's team Kvishcheti, which is the name of the village. The family and friends of the late Solomon Kimeridze yesterday refused to let Ivanishvili supporters into their house. The oligarch's party members were transported to the village of Kvishcheti by a number of minibuses and accompanied by the camera crew of one of the TV stations. Ivanishvili's party members asked the family to have an alternative medical examination of the body conducted. The political party members were trying to enter Kimeridze's house with the TV cameras, which irritated the mourning household as well as the relatives. According to Kimeridze's family and the villagers, the political movement representatives had already come to Kvishcheti on several occasions with the aim to politicize a family tragedy and to exacerbate the situation artificially, added Channel 1. Kimeridze's family and the neighbors forced the members of Ivanishvili's team to leave the village. Kimeridze's family asked the representatives of opposition parties to refrain from interfering in this family tragedy, end quote. Until this point, the wording is exactly identical on all three stations. The supposedly independent Rusaviori and Imedi, and the officially, you know, run by the state channel. Or
no, state-owned, not state-run.
State-owned, right, not run. Only Rustavi's anchor added the following sentence, quote, Kimeridze's family asked the representatives of the opposition parties to refrain from interfering in this family tragedy, end quote. Imedi's anchor added the following, quote, Givi Kimeridze, Solomon Kimeridze's son, is saying that Sosar Subadi and four persons accompanying him accessed their house during the night without permission and took photos of the body, end quote. Channel 1 closes with, quote, according to Givi Kimeridze, his family is against any such activities and asks everybody not to use their tragedy for personal political gains, end quote. You know...
Well, come on, what's the... You know, hold the front page. The three pro-government national broadcasters coordinate. This isn't even as blatant as the example a couple of years ago where they all came out saying Transparency International had upped Georgia's ranking using last year's data and using it inaccurately and all three doing it in exactly the same way.
Right, so, I mean, which, and TI had released nothing. Yes. And it was just somebody picked up the story and went out.
So,
now, but, okay, but listen, here's my question. And I mean, you know all these things. Who is it? Who's the person... You know, that's actually writing this text and sending it out. I mean, that means that there is one human being who's doing that.
Well, I'm sure there's actually probably a room of human beings that do it. And I think it's absolutely, you know, the received wisdom that the heads of the newsrooms of all these places get called up every day and go in for a meeting once a week and sort of discuss the agenda. And I think, I mean, this is the received wisdom about how it happens. I don't know who those people are. I don't know which, you know, if it's in the president's, you know, the residence across in Everbury, or it's in the chancery, or God knows where it is. But yeah, this is coordinated, obviously, and there is a team of people working on it, and they're all on speed dial and Facebook chat and Skype every hour of the day. Everyone knows.
Well,
this.
I reject that. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, that's just not okay. Now, for the most depressing example of bootlicking we can find, even worse than Tavkhelidze, is a one Nikoloz Diasadze, an employee of the Imedeti's governor's office, saying in a post, quote, Girvliani, the drug addict, died and he was announced to be a hero. Come on, that's shameful. We should make a hero out of everyone who dies.
And why was he saying that? Where was
because
he saying that?
The point was, you know, about this the guy that was killed in Khashoggi. Yeah. Like, why should we make him a hero? Like, first of all, Girvliani was not a drug addict. And,
well,
you know, second of all, he didn't just die.
Die, no.
You know, and, you know.
And third of all, he's also not a hero. I mean, you know, people remember his death, which was his murder, because it was a tragic incident that, you know, no one really got their just desserts for it. And that's a terrible thing. And it was covered up and... You know, I mean, that's why people remember Gigliani 6 years after his death, not because he was Superman or he did such great charity work. No.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so Nikoloz, you know, is just a pill, you know. Somebody, fire him. Get him fired, you know. Civil.ge reports that the controversial party funding regulations will be amended so that they won't restrict, quote, legitimate activities of civil society groups and Western donors. Democracy and Freedom Watch, that's dfwatch.net, I guess, which is this new Resonanci project, very cool, a lot of cool stuff there, writes how party funding regulations hinder international organizations' democracy-building activities, all very close to our heart. The Netherlands Institute of Multiparty Democracy has decided to end their cooperation with Georgian political parties. Konrad Adenauer Stiftung has expressed concern about the new regulations, calling them vague. MP Ako Minishvili met with representatives of foreign non-governmental organizations working on democracy development programs and political parties' institutional assistance and tried to assure them that the law does not apply to them. No, it's just true about
it. No, they added a sentence. No, to be fair, they did add a sentence to the law saying it does not apply to Western people trying to help political party development. they really did. And the point is here that this law was basically designed to screw Bidzina and stop him from funding other parties, which he tried to do. It was retrospective. I mean, if you remember, cast your mind back, it was applied retrospectively until it didn't. and they sort of said they fudged it on the website. They fudged the wording to make it no longer retrospective after the US ambassador got involved. Now there's this big brouhaha with all these international NGOs saying, you know, listen, guys, this is more like Azerbaijan than Georgia. You can't you can't paint the brush strokes so wide and, you know, cast the net so we get caught up in it. And so Akhamenishvili has, you know, worn his sackcloth and ashes and is changing the law. That's a good thing. It almost certainly won't change the law far enough. The NGO coalition that is behind this protest want the law to only refer to entities with declared electoral goals, whereas the law currently says declared political and electoral goals. So what's a declared political goal? I mean, you know, if I'm a sort of wacky pro-life organisation, that's a political goal, isn't it? Or if I want everyone to wear a hat on Tuesdays, that could be conceived as a political goal. And so that's what these NGOs want to stop. The government have backtracked a lot and are going to meet them halfway probably, but it could still be used and abused, and almost certainly will be used and abused. But my point is, since when have the government been so, or the parliament rather, been so slapdash in writing their laws? I mean, there was a...
Since when?
Well, no, but there was a time that the law could be as bad as you like, but they'd never dream of changing it. And now they seem to be, every week, they're, okay, we'll add a sentence, all right, we'll get rid of that nasty
word. That's the Ivanishvili scramble when they, you know, I mean, they're just freaked out so much by that this, you know, the Ministry of
Justice...
They don't get
a chance to check for typos? I mean,
yeah, basically. I heard an interesting thing. That Kakha Bendukidze, everybody's favorite rich Georgian libertarian, has funded a historian in the Vatican and somehow persuaded the Vatican. I don't know how sweet the, you know, honey was for that persuasion to take place, to open up the archives for all the letters that have gone from Georgia over the millennia, you know, to the Pope saying, help! and it's fascinating. And some really, really interesting things have come out about that. So
good for Bendukidze.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good job, Kakha. And can't wait to see what... Because, you know, the sources are pretty modest. I mean, so, you know, the place has been torched so many times. So it's really, you know, there's some Armenian, you know, Turkish sources here and there, I guess, you know. But anyway, this should be quite historic.
Watch this space, yeah.
Exactly. On Sunday, a group of six people opened fire outside a police station close to the border de facto administrative whatever line with Abkhazia in Gamlekhuri. According to civil.ge, they used machine guns and two RPGs. Fire lasted nearly 10 minutes. Abkhazians say, hey,
it's in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, we have no idea what's going on. The EUMM, the European Union Monitoring Mission, says there's been a worrying increase in security-related events in this area in recent months. Thanks for that insight there, EUMM.
I mean, this is Gamlekhuri, which, of course, is kind of a notorious place. It seems kind of cursed. It was the site of a memorable incident back before the war when Misha went and started screaming at Russian peacekeepers and they were sort of pointing their guns at him and he was like, no, point your guns away. And sort of all filmed rather nicely. And then it was they built a Patriot camp there, and which was torched during the war. Then they rebuilt the Patriot camp. And no. I mean, it's just, it's one of those places that you probably don't want to go camping.
Yeah, fair enough. Rezonansi reports that the government of Georgia is offering free medical care to people in the breakaway regions who accept neutral passports. Quite interesting. There seem to be several takers. I mean, I don't know whether they're all.
Well, I think there's 35 takers or something, aren't there?
I've heard a lot more than that. But I mean, I've heard, you know, a couple hundred. But that, you know, that the Abkhaz are, you know, exaggerating the numbers even more. And you know, that they've had some come in from Suchumi.
Well, I mean, but even before these neutral travel documents existed, hundreds of Abkhaz would travel to Georgia for medical care because it's cheaper.
And in all from Gali or also?
No, from Suchumi as well. I mean, you know, it's cheaper. It's cheaper than going to Sochi or Rostov or, you know, wherever. Yeah. That's basically the only reason Abkhaz ever come to Georgia is to go to hospital.
Interesting. So, what else is new, File? Georgia is concerned with Russia's intention to deploy the first helicopter regiment and airborne troops at Novorossiysk and considers it a threat.
Right, it's a threat in Novorossiysk, which is about 300 kilometers away. Not that, like, the threat of the massive military base in South Ossetia and the other massive several military bases
exactly.
In Abkhazia.
Well, you know, you got to do the press release, you know. There was an interview with Ivanishvili in Forbes, and I quote, "In a year, I guarantee you, I've never given such a guarantee to anyone before, in a year I will build a pure democracy and independent courts here," end quote. He said, with a Georgian's tendency to exaggerate. I ask him how he plans to achieve such a task in such a short period of time. He says, "Very easy," before flashing that other national trademark, ruthlessness. We've got a lot of stereotypes going on here with this writer. You have to jail one minister, two, max, to show everyone that there will be no forgiveness. Show that there's political will up there, and it will all line up quickly. We need 2-3 years for a European-style system, end quote, according to Forbes magazine. According to Forbes, Ivanishvili now has $6.4 billion U.S. dollars, which is $900 million more than he had last year. Big question is, how much would he ever be able to get out of Russia? But, you know, probably something, I guess.
He can send his Damien Hirst. They're worth a few, Bob.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. That sounds a little wacky. I mean, you know, lock a couple of ministers up and then the courts will become independent. I don't know. I'm not sure if I follow that logic.
I mean, that's sort of Misha logic, isn't it? he says a lot of that. He's, as we've discussed before, he's not a politician. He needs some serious guys around him to sort of, you know, help him with his strategy and stuff. And, you know, he says what he says. He's a bit of an eccentric, isn't he? And certainly a pure democracy. I mean, who do you think he is? Pericles? It's, you know, like I say, I'm glad he's around, but he needs to step away from the microphone sometimes.
Speaking of independent courts, Tbilisi City Court refused to consider the suit of the employee of Kartu Mshenebeli Nugzar Khutsashvili. The case was about the decision of the Georgian Chamber of Control, which fined him 200,000 lari for donations to Georgian Dream. Since the strikes last year at the metallurgical factory in Kutaisi, the police regularly visit and question workers, according to Net Gazeti. One worker said that there were three employees who were most active, that they were fired and had, and quoting here, "We had to write a form that said we would never again cooperate with trade unions or allow them to be involved in our internal affairs," end quote. That's not so good for any possible U.S. Free trade agreement and whatever the AFL-CIO would have to say about that. But, you know, who knows? I encourage somebody, you know, to go check out Net Gazeti's interviewing of workers in the Kutaisi factory there. The lorry had its first deflationary month last month in over 30 months, says Democracy and Freedom Watch. The EU has allocated 1.2 million euros for the implementation of new projects. E-governance in local administration. It's a two-year project. Be kind of nice if there were some locally elected mayors, you know, but hey, we'll work on that. The Asian Development Bank will allocate from $500 to $600 million U.S. dollars on infrastructure projects during the next 2 years. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of infrastructure projects. Look at ADB. Why are, you know, what's up with this?
They build a lot of tunnels and a lot of bypasses. Yeah. I guess they want to get their stuff.
Is that
quicker.
Them? Are they doing that? Those tunnel, the thing on the, you know.
They're doing this big tunnel in Batumi to sort of Batumi bypass road and stuff and. All sorts of things like that. Yeah.
Love infrastructure. Yeah, Asians love infrastructure, you know. Well, Georgians are ruthless, you know, and fun-loving, and Asians love infrastructure. Misha was in Azerbaijan, delivered a speech in Parliament. The Azerbaijan will allot $320 million U.S. dollars for construction of the Georgian section of the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars Railway.
And more importantly, Georgia and Azerbaijan will collectively bid to host UEFA 2020.
Exactly. 2024.
Oh, is it 2024?
Yeah. The results will be known in 2014. I don't know about that. Could that happen?
I mean, presumably it's a possibility, isn't it? If the World Cup is going to be going to Qatar, and, you know, then, where they're going to have to play the games underwater, then why not? I mean, they've built some stadiums by that time.
Great. Misha opened a hospital in Akhmeta. A lot of YouTube videos floating around with that on Facebook. People were brought in by marshutkas from nearby villages. It seemed to be an inordinate number of public sector employees and school kids coming in for that. Georgian launched production of a reactive artillery system. I don't know what that is. Misha, together with Defense Minister Bacho Akhalaya, participated in the presentation and test of Georgian-made rocket launchers in Vaziani on Sunday, according to Black Sea Press.
Yep, they unveiled a brand new rocket launcher to go with their Lasica APC and their Didgori, you know, little things. What is this whole like sudden defense industry that Georgia's come up with seemingly overnight?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, you ban the weapons trade and stuff happens, I guess. There is also, I have no idea who's on it, but there's a new military advisors board on the in the defense ministry that's supposedly modernizing Georgia's army, you know. The term of compulsory military service has gone up from 12 to 15 months.
Which is sort of meaningless because there's hardly any conscript at all. But.
Right, exactly. Which is, you know, it's exactly wrong. You know, it should be volunteer and you should have to pay them, you know, to sign up. And
well, that's how most of it is, right? It's mainly a contract.
But service. There should be no, you know. There should be, everybody should be conscripted, which I would be a fan of because I know that the United States, if there was a draft, sure as heck wouldn't have started, you know, the war in Iraq. And so, you know, I think there'd be an advantage to get these snobby Vakeli kids, you know, serving with their, you know, comrades from the villages for, you know, 6 months or something like that. I mean, you know, I learn how to man some checkpoints or something. Interior Minister Vano Medavashvili is working on a project to reintegrate drug addicts into society. He told journalists, quote, "At the present stage, we do not want this project to be of a mass character. We will choose some experienced policemen who work on this program and will begin its implementation," end quote. Tbilisi mayor's office has joined the prosecutor's office anti-drug campaign and plans to develop some alternative rehabilitation centers. From a brief look at the Tbilisi 2012 budget, which is 648 million lari, it has decreased by 17.4% from the 2010 budget. Historically, the central government financial assistance or grants in the Tbilisi budget has been around 70%. The share of the central government's grants in the 2012 budget has decreased by 22%. So the Tbilisi budget is decreasing while the country's tax revenues are increasing.
Well, there's no local elections this year.
There's that.
I mean, that's what I say. I think there should be local elections every year and then Tbilisi would look absolutely spick and span.
Could be. According to new amendments to the criminal code, racial or religious motives while committing a criminal act will increase the punishment. David Svimonishvili, the head of the shift working at the Lago Dehi customs checkpoint, was arrested for extortion connected with fuel smuggling from Azerbaijan, according to the Interior Ministry. Last week, we already mentioned financial problems from Georgian Airways. Flights to Paris are now completely suspended, and many employees are furloughed, according to Resonansi. Georgian government is reconstructing the old Armenian Surb Nishan Church in Old Tbilisi, according to Black Sea Press.
Where's that?
I don't know. We tried to figure that out.
Surb Nishan.
Yeah. Trying to figure it out, but don't know where it is. Somewhere in Old Tbilisi. It's not the big one on Les Elizes, is it? Because that hasn't burned.
No, that's...
Anyway, the church was damaged during a fire during New Year's, and it's evidently much disputed between Georgia and Armenia. I don't know which church that is. Anybody does, please let us know. 21 foreign professors will deliver lectures on medicine at the Tbilisi State Medical University. It's a million lari has been allocated by this by Misha. They'll do free surgeries. And discuss all sorts of things. They're doctors from the U.S., Great Britain, Norway, Austria, Israel, Germany, and Italy who will come for that. As a government initiative, 25,000 students will get summer jobs with a 500 lari salary, according to financial.ge. Funny timing that, huh?
Well, they did this before. They did this back in 2006. Do you remember? There was like, everyone had these blue t-shirts and were taught how to use computers and say hello in English.
I don't really remember anybody actually making use of them.
There was this so-called internship program as well, where there was these massive queues and people got, I think, 200 lari for 2 weeks.
Something like that.
Yeah, they've tried this before. It is purely a pre-election
Right.
Doodah.
Have you heard of the Open Government Partnership?
No.
It's an interesting thing. It was a, I think it was a sort of Soros creation or something, but Obama got interested in it, and it sort of promulgated after that. Brazil has sort of taken the lead, and, you know, and so it's essentially, if you Google Open Government Partnership, you'll find out quite a bit about it. It's a way that governments say, okay, here's how we're going to be transparent, and then they make a plan for themselves, and it's checked up on, and they, you know, it's sort of, I don't know, a sort of self-done, you know, let's work on this together type thing. And the Georgian government said, okay, we'll do it. And this was shortly before, I think, Misha was going to the U.S., or maybe he was going to the big U.N. meeting, mm-hmm. maybe in September, and said, yeah, we'll sign on for it. And the Ministry of Justice, who's sort of tasked with this, said, okay, here's our plan. And listed a few things that they'd already done, or I mean,
well, it was quite easy.
Yeah, I mean, it was like five sentences or something like that. And a lot of NGOs have gotten really interested in it, including Transparency International, said, "Hey, you know, this is a big opportunity. Let's do it right." You know, stuff like that, and wrote a 20-page report about it. To which the Ministry of Justice responded, like, you know, it was too long for us to read, and, you know, come on, like, let's be real here and give us a break. Big meeting in Brazil in April about that, where there will be, this is the first time that NGOs from Georgia will be going, as well as government officials. They've already had the big government official powwow where everybody hangs around Brazil and, you know.
Sounds great.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's watch this, because if the Georgian government decides to actually play ball with the Open Government Partnership and, you know, do it right, you know, this could create a lot more data to find out, you know, actually what's happening. Okay, listeners, we have a question for you. Has anybody heard anything about a program called Protect Your Village in San Miguelo, organized by the Defense Ministry, where people, reservists, get guns at home, supposedly on the Defense Ministry website for a while? Anybody heard anything about this? I just heard about it, and I've been asking around, and nobody seems to know anything about it. So anybody heard anything about this, check it out. Let us know. From a dedicated listener via Ria Novosti, the Tuvalu Prime Minister has arrived.
Willy Telavi.
Exactly, Willy Telavi. What a great name. I mean, Willy Telavi. You know, it's like that scene in Mimino.
Yeah, Telavi.
When he calls the guy in Telavi. Yeah, exactly. Willy Telavi. Well, have a wonderful trip, Prime Minister Telavi.
That's the second time he's been to Sukhumi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went back in September as well. He liked it then.
Well, I mean, you know, makes sense, I guess. You know, I mean, where else is the Prime Minister of Tuvalu get invited? And continuing with the avalanche of stories from dedicated listeners, a fake story was posted on the CNN website, where CNN allows anybody to post any story.
I report it.
Yes, exactly. They're not vetted by the editor. So it's basically a way for them to get free user-generated content, fill some of their airtime with random irrelevant stories, and rather than, you know, just nabbing videos from YouTube. On May 2nd, somebody posted an obvious fake story on this CNN site saying that Georgia was now enriching uranium in Rustavi with the intention of building a nuclear bomb, claiming that the International Atomic Energy Commission had made a statement about this. Then the story continued saying that the IAEA statement, in which the author had replaced Iran with Georgia, proved all of this. Took CNN several days to take the story off their site. The deputy minister of energy had to get in there and tell everybody that the story was a fake. And then, of course, picked up by, you know, the Russian, you know, wires, and then the Armenian wires, and, you know, every day an adventure in the echo chamber.
Well, mind you, back in 2007, Nina Bujanaze did say that she wanted to build a nuclear power plant in Georgia somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a big difference between nuclear power plants and nuclear weapons, as the Iranians will tell you. European Center for Minority Issues has a very interesting paper out about Georgia's Muslims, which I'd encourage anyone to take a look at. Very well sourced and quite interesting. Particularly interesting about how the government deals with this and some complex moves that they have made related to this. There is evidently an Olympic Museum in Tbilisi. Have you ever heard of this?
It's in the former Public Defender's Office, isn't it? That's where the new headquarters of the Olympic Commission are.
And makes I think sense. They have a Tbilisi Street? But isn't that...
No, that's in Sepetano. No, I don't know. The new headquarters is on Machiavelli Street.
Ah, okay, right. The old... Yeah, exactly. That beautiful old building.
Beria used to have his office.
Okay, all right. Huh, all right. Well, in there, there's on some sort of fetishy German design blog, there is a picture of this wild wooden staircase.
Yes, that is building. That. That's definitely in that building. Yes, that's definitely on Machiavelli Street. Yeah.
Have you seen it? Have you seen
I saw the blog post.
Huh. All right. We need to take a look at that. So, can somebody go by Machiavelli, one of our dedicated listeners of the Solo Lucky crew, and check that out? Because it from the pictures, it looks absolutely wild. Asavaldo Savaldi, line of the week, and I quote, "Obama needs the votes of American Armenians. That's why he was such a generous host to Saakashvili." End quote. Yeah, Asavaldo Savaldi, always.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Batumalebi writes that TV25 might be sold to Ivanishvili. The director of the channel, Gia Surmanidze, does not confirm it yet, but a lot of people in Batumi are talking about it. Just so you know. Remains of a settlement dating back to the 3rd, 4th millennium BC was discovered in Ahmeta, the village of Matani, according to the Kakheti Information Center. Poti City Court has not had a single guilty sentence last year. A single innocent sentence. 80 plea bargains out of 103 criminal cases. According to Beyond Tbilisi.
Everyone in Poti is guilty.
Yeah, well, we've always known it. There's going to be a new monument on Marjanashvili Square in that little sort of...
Yes, that's another horrible phallus.
Yeah, the turd in the plaza.
Yeah, it's going to be... I've seen pictures. It's got this...
Well, but there's a competition. They haven't decided yet, right?
Oh, really?
Okay. Or have they?
I mean, one of the pictures I saw had this sort of strange golden clock on top.
I don't know. If you look at forum.ge, there's a page that has umpteen gazillion entries in the competition, and some of them are pretty impressive. I mean, I sort of like the just regular old Soviet bronze sculpture of some, I don't know, somebody with wine or, you know, some mythological whatever, but some of them are a little more nutty. But, you know, some of them not bad. Fly Dubai is now adding a third day, so it is now thrice a week, starting March 29th, and it's cheap. It is starts at $140 US one way, 270 round trip, and up until the 25th of April, it's buy one, get one free, although you have to pay airport fees. So, everyone, check out Dubai. The Artist, which evidently, allegedly won a bunch of Oscars, will be showing at Dom Kino on Friday, tomorrow at 8 p.m. That's the 9th of March. On Saturday night...
And apparently it has some sort of Georgia reference.
Oh, yeah, it does. We mentioned that on the show one time. There's at the very beginning, so don't be light, there's a movie that's showing that has to do with... I have not seen the movie, but there's a silent movie showing that has to do with some Georgian... patriotic, you know, white army officer or something. I don't know, fighting for Georgian independence. You wouldn't know it if you don't know, but if you do know, there's cues in there somehow that'll tell you. So check that out if you can. On Saturday night, this coming Saturday night, Faust will be performed in Marjanashvili Theater with English subtitles. So everyone go to that is around on Saturday night if you have the chance. So, the question last week, who won the Yurmala competition in 1989? It was Soso Pavliashvili with the song Samshoblo. Winning a free lifetime subscription, a first-time winner was Andro Oteev. Good job, Andro. Second and third place, correct, but not quite as quick, are Mamuka Melikadze and Fridon Kiria, the traditional smartest kids in the class, who already have lifetime subscriptions. All right, the question for this coming week. What material culture, attested archaeologically, was dominant in the South Caucasus in the early Bronze Age? Will, you want to repeat that for us?
What material culture, attested archaeologically, was dominant in the South Caucasus in the early Bronze Age? So we're talking 4th, 3rd millennium BC.
Excellent. All right, so let's hear it. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Email is tblpod@gmail.com. That's tblpod@gmail.com. Send us stories, comments, anything else you can think of. We'll finish up with Watermelon Man by Herbie Hancock from his debut album, Taken Off, from 1962.